Australia's big four banks are facing testing times as house prices continue to soar on the East Coast. New regulations are looming aimed at reinforcing a sector that authorities fear is dangerously over-reliant on mortgages. The banks' reputations have been tarnished too by a series of financial advice scandals in recent times that have seen the major bank chiefs hauled before a Senate inquiry. All this as the digital revolution opens up the sector to new competition. The global tech giants Apple and Google now getting into the money business. They're everywhere, aren't they? Some of the strain was on view yesterday with Westpac, Australia's second largest lender, reporting a flat first half profit of $3.8 billion that was below market forecasts. Brian Hartzer is Westpac's chief executive. He joins me in the breakfast studio. Brian Hartzer, welcome back to breakfast.
Good morning, Fran. Good to see you.
Brian, some commentators believe the glory days of the big banks posting ever-increasing mega profits are behind them. Can we draw that conclusion from your profit result yesterday? You were disappointed?
Well, we were disappointed with the headline. I think our underlying business is continuing to perform really well. Our balance sheet is strong. And we do have some headwinds, but there's also lots of opportunity for growth.
Let's talk about the headwinds. Increased competition at a time when the economy is slowing and a much more onerous regulatory regime on the horizon. Is that basically the challenges you face?
Well, we certainly are seeing some more challenges with capital, and we took steps to make sure that our balance sheet remained very strong in what we announced yesterday. Lower interest rates are certainly a challenge, and we've got an economy that's fundamentally going through transition. That means that parts of the economy are going to grow strongly, other parts aren't going to grow as strongly, are going to find it tough, in fact. And as a bank, we are in some ways responsive to what's going on in the broader economy.
The banking regulator, APRA, is worried that the banks aren't responsive enough, and they're interested in putting some shock absorbers around the big banks in the form of tougher capital reserve rules, restrictions to rein in risky property lending. David Murray, for instance, head of the Financial Services Systems Inquiry, worried about Australian banks' over-reliance on property lending, particularly when the economy is slowing. Why shouldn't he be worried?
Well, I think the starting point is the banking system in Australia is very strong. Westpac's very strong. We've got strong term funding requirements, which means that we borrow over long periods of time to fund our loans. We've got $136 billion in liquid assets against our deposits. And we've got a core Tier 1 capital ratio of 8.8%. And we've decided that we will actually lift that to 9.3%. So we're very strong along all those measures. Our risk quality is very, very good. But having said that, there is a recognition that particularly aspects of the housing market have been growing very fast, and all of us are concerned to make sure that we don't end up with a credit-fueled bubble. And so we understand that there's an expectation that capital levels will rise for mortgages, and we're responding to that.
So you'd be happy to have that regulation in place?
Well, we think we're well capitalized, but we recognize that there's a movement in global regulation and out of the FSI to look for higher capital levels, and so we're prepared to respond.
So in a sense, you've resigned to more regulation?
That's probably a fair summary of it, yes. But I think the important thing is we do feel we're strong, but we also recognize that the community needs to know that we're strong. Our point would just be that there are more levels that you need to look at than just capital.
The federal government's also reportedly considering slapping a 0.5% tax charge on bank deposits in the May budget. Can you live with that?
Well, we'll live with whatever comes out of the budget, obviously.
Who'll pay for that, the bank or the customers?
Well, we'll have to see what comes through, and it'll be a decision at the time to see how we deal with that. But I think the important thing is we don't believe that that's necessary. In our case, we hold $137 billion of liquid assets against our deposits. Deposits are well covered. And we think a system whereby if there were to be a failure of the banks that remain would then contribute to any shortfall is a better system than paying in advance.
I'm sure you've put that argument to the Treasurer. Any sign, any confidence the Treasurer has listened to that, persuaded by that?
Well, we've certainly put that view forward. I think a number of banks have, but we'll just have to see how it plays out in the budget.
Brian Hartzer, later today the Reserve Bank will decide whether to cut official interest rates again. Economists, including those at Westpac, think the bank will cut interest rates again. If that happens, that'll put another rocket up an already overheated house price market on the East Coast, make houses even more unaffordable for first-time buyers, won't it? Is that good for the economy?
Well, I think the interest rate thing is a really interesting one. We need confidence in the economy, and an interest rate cut would help. If you think about the housing prices, it's really a Sydney phenomenon,
and
to
Melbourne.
A lesser extent, Melbourne house phenomenon. The rest of the country prices are growing relatively slowly, and in some markets are actually going backwards. So it's a difficult balance. And the other thing to bear in mind is lower interest rates, of course, hurt depositors. And we've got many depositors as well. We've got people on fixed pensions and those sorts of things for whom lower interest rates are very challenging. But the core thing that the economy needs is confidence. We're in transition. We need people to have confidence to go spend. We need businesses to have confidence to go invest. And lower interest rates would help.
But there's no sign. I mean, we've been having lower and lower interest rates, and it hasn't helped confidence.
Well, we have seen some increase in confidence. We, in our business customers, many more of them have been talking to us about arranging lines of credit to go and make investments and do things, but they're sitting on the sidelines.
Bank lending to investors in real estate has really skyrocketed over the past year or so. Investors are pushing out first home buyers. I think that's well documented in the property market in Sydney, for instance. Doesn't that mean the housing market is more at risk of a crash because investors are usually very heavily geared? Isn't it safer for a bank to lend to, say, a young family than to an investor? How do you judge who's the better credit risk?
Well, several things. First of all, I think it's important to recognize that the investment property growth is pretty sensible in the sense that, particularly in Sydney, we've had a long period of not enough construction of new houses. And we have low interest rates, which means investors are looking for yield, and rental yields have actually been fairly attractive. So we think people have been fairly rational. From a credit point of view, the banks have been through this before. We've been pretty conservative in our credit appetite, and a number of changes have been made over the last 10 years that mean that banks have been pretty careful. And I have to say, in our own book, the performance of investment property lending is actually just as good as owner-occupied.
Do you have sympathy, though, for first home buyers? I mean, young people in their 20s to 30s, they've got jobs, they can't get into the market. Is Westpac, do you consider that in your lending practices? Do you, for instance, look at a lower deposit need to be held for first home buyers and for investors? Any measures like that?
Yeah, it's a really difficult one, and it's something that we experiment with here and there. The regulators are obviously very concerned, and we're concerned about not putting people in a credit situation that they can't manage. It's a very difficult challenge. The best solution is more construction of housing to address the supply challenges that we face, particularly in Sydney.
Okay, but the bank doesn't have a particular positive discrimination for young first home buyers.
Well, we want to make sure that people can afford the credit that they take, and we do have various programs that are available, but we are being pretty conservative, and I think that's appropriate, both for the customer's point of view and the banks.
It's 16 to 8 on Breakfast. Brian Hartzer is our guest, the Chief Executive of Westpac. Brian, another challenge facing the banks is the lack of trust, I think, and reputational damage following that string of financial planning scandals, rogue planners at some of the big banks putting customers into financial products they should never have invested in, driven by a culture of conflicted commission-based payments to planners. Now, Westpac was the only big bank not to be engulfed by the scandal. Last time we spoke, you mentioned that you were looking at your files. You revealed yesterday the bank is auditing customer files at your wealth division for evidence of poor practice. What's triggered that audit and what have you found?
Well, so first of all, it's a bit of background. This is a really important issue, and from the standpoint that Australians need to get good financial advice. We have an aging population. It's really important that Australians can deal with companies and brands that they can trust on this. This is something that I've been really focused on since I came back to Australia a couple of years ago, and our BT business has been focused on this for quite a long time. We moved to a fee-for-service model back before FOFA came in. We made a bunch of changes to try to move the business to a more sustainable practice. And I think one of the ways to think about this is that the financial planning industry in many ways reflects what was an insurance brokerage model back in the 90s that then has gradually evolved. And so the industry is going through a series of changes, which is entirely appropriate. What that means, though, is that the business needs to be run in a different way. We've put in changes like one of the most important ones is digitizing the files. And so what this means is that all of our financial planning files are now held electronically so we can independently look at them at any time and make sure that the advice is suitable. We've raised the standards on financial planners. We launched something recently called BT AdvisorNet, which gives, it's like TripAdvisor for financial planners, so people can rate their financial planners.
So we're just about out of time, but on that front, does that mean after auditing, you have had to get rid of some people? You found some bad advice?
So over the last 5 years, we've given 300,000 pieces of financial advice, and inevitably in that, you're going to have a few issues. What we've been doing for many years is where we find an issue, we deal with that, and then if there is an issue with that planner, we look at their other files and say, has there been anything else? That's been our standard practice for many years. We've dealt with the regulators on that. That's just normal practice in a big business. What we're doing now, given all the community attention, is say, let's go back and have a second look, and let's just make sure that we haven't missed anything. At this point, the important point for your listeners is to know we've found nothing systemic.
Brian Hartzer, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Fran.
Brian Hartzer is the Chief Executive of Westpac. Westpac shares fell 3% yesterday after the release of the half-yearly results to $35.60.